It's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Well, week three is away and done with, and boy, did we overreact about the Detroit Lions after one week.
A little
overreaction on that part. We'll wear that. That's no problem. They are still really good. Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. You got Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo. We got Christian Kat behind the glass. We're at the City Play Studios in downtown West Palm Beach following week three of the NFL season. 38-30 final score between the Lions and the Ravens. A close, competitive game for about three-ish quarters. And then that Lions defensive line, that Lions defense really bottled up Lamar Jackson in that run game and took away the win, moved to 2-1. Ravens, once again, falling to 1-2. Can't really win a big game in the early part of the season. They haven't done it in the last couple of years here. And now you got a couple questions about how good the Ravens really are comparatively to someone like last year. Derrick Henry had yet another fumble that really cost the team, probably cost the team the game in all consideration again. And that's the second time in 3 weeks that he's cost his team a victory alone. I think he fumbled again in the Brown game as well.
He's got a real issue with putting the ball on the ground.
So that's three times now. And the Lions, on the other hand, played a pretty perfect game on the flip side. But Mike, your reaction to the game yesterday?
The rushing attack, right? I mean, did Montgomery with the buck 51, Gibbs with 67. Both had two touchdowns. It's not like Goff threw for five touchdowns, four touchdowns.
And Goff played a very good game.
He did. He played a clean game. The best way I could put it for the Lions is they played a clean game offensively. And the play where I think the momentum flipped a bit too was the fourth and goal. With the fourth and goal for the Ravens, they had four chances to get in from about the 2 yard line, and they couldn't do it. And what was that play? Dude, the play call that the Lions snuffed out on that fourth and goal where Lamar ended up fumbling and landing back on it. I mean, you were like, all right, the Lions came to play. You want to know why the NFL is so great? So the Lions, they lost to the Green Bay Packers week one. The Browns beat the Green Bay Packers this past week. The Ravens beat the Browns 43-17. That's why the NFL is great. Any given week, anything could happen. That's why, like, you know, Kyle, you said we were quick to overreact about the Lions. Yeah, that's the NFL, mate, right? That's the NFL in a nutshell of, oh, Lions are dead, lost all their coordinators. You know, it's going to be tough to follow up what they did. Dude, that new defensive coordinator was booming last night. That new offensive coordinator
was healthy.
Booming. They're healthy, and it seems like, and I told you when we did Game Plan for Greatness with Mentally Medical yesterday, for the Lions, they need to get that run game established. They never were able to establish a run against Green Bay because they were down 10-0 before they could blink. So the fact that they were able to establish a run and win that way was very impressive. They out-physicaled the Ravens, too. They won the lineman scrimmage battle on the offensive side and the defensive side. Very impressive stuff.
And they bottled up Lamar. You know, Lamar, you know, played, you know, 200-some-odd yards, three touchdowns. He played a good game, but it wasn't to the standard of what they were looking for, especially in the ground attack. The way they won that game was they got to Lamar consistently. And getting to him consistently in that pass rush, whether it be, you know, creative blitzes, not letting him roll out, they were all over him. He didn't have and he was getting frustrated from the first quarter. He was frustrated. And the thing about the Lions that we talked about yesterday was when they get rolling, they are nearly impossible to stop. Mm-hmm. And that was the case yesterday. You know, every time they were getting the ball, they were better. Aikman said in the broadcast, they were better when they were backed up in their own area. When they were backed up at they had a 98-yard drive, an 18-play, 10-minute drive. Just they suffocated them offensively. That's the bizarre part. I mean, that was as good of a game on the road as you could possibly get for Detroit.
The Ravens have been the top rushing attack for the last 2.5 years. And the fact of the matter is they ran 19 yards for 85 yards. And it was a game majority of the way through. We mentioned the Derrick Henry fumble truly swinging the momentum of things. But the fact that they this season, outside of the Buffalo game, they haven't really been able to establish a run. And I think if that's one thing you want to take away from this game, Kyle, I know you're not hitting the panic button on the Ravens, neither am I, but they need to get Derrick Henry back to being Derrick Henry. I mean, what was the statistic last year? The guy didn't fumble at all. And now you have about three lost fumbles in three games.
All right.
in big spots, too. They're lucky the Browns' offense is inept. Because, you put the ball on the ground like that, you're asking for teams to crawl back into the game.
Yeah, their offense is fine, though. You know, they've been able to score.
And then Lamar, 288 and 3 touchdowns.
They've been able to score. It's not a problem. Like really, the offense is not an issue. You're a little worried about if they can protect Lamar, and you're a little worried about the fumbling issue. You're not necessarily worried about, can this team score in a big spot? Let's think about this for a second. They open the season at Buffalo. Then they have the Lions in that Week 3 game. They get the Chiefs next week. After that, the schedule gets a lot easier.
Yeah. And the division stinks. The Steelers are worse than advertised. The Browns are terrible. And the Bengals don't have their starting quarterback.
Let's think about this. After this Raven game, which is coming, after this Chief game, which is coming up on the road next week, they might lose that game, right? That's going to be that game has, they never beat them. And he can't win in that stadium to begin with, Lamar. But, if they start 1-3, not good. But the following part of the schedule, Texans, Rams, Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, Jets, Bengals.
Yeah, it opens up.
That opens up considerably. And the next three games after that are Steelers, Bengals, or Patriots. They might go undefeated in the next stretch.
They'll win their 10 games.
And they're easily going to win their 10-11 games.
They'll win their 10 games and they'll win the division.
There is no reason. The problem with the Ravens is you walked out of that game thinking the same exact thing you thought about the Ravens walking into the game. They can't win a big one.
Right.
They do not win an important game. They cannot do it for the life of them. Unless it's in the division, they can't go into they're at home, a tough environment against a competitive team. Regular season, they're a lot better than the postseason, but they just can't win a big game. And they feel like this didn't have that slip away nature that week one had, or, the Chiefs last year. It didn't have that sense, or the Bill game last year with the Mark Andrews fumble. But it had the stretch of they were in the game, and then all of a sudden they just couldn't make the plays at the end to close it out.
And I think we understand they're going to be hosting a playoff game too.
Right.
The Bengals, I went through. Bengals, no quarterback. The Browns, bad. Pittsburgh, geez.
They're going to dominate. They got an easy schedule. England. They're getting through the tough part now.
If you're a Raven fan doomsdaying today, just keep in mind you will have a home playoff game. Like, that simple. That simple. I know it was ugly. I know you got out physical last night. It doesn't happen a lot with Harbaugh teams, with John Harbaugh teams. You got out physical last night. And that's a tough pill to swallow because Lamar threw for 288 and 3 touchdowns. You lost the game. Again, Lamar playing well and you're losing the game. I feel like that's it happens in a big game, right? Recently, before the last 2 years, Lamar didn't play well in some of those playoff games. But the last 2 years in the playoffs, Lamar's played pretty well.
Yeah, he hasn't been dominant, but he's been better.
But
for sure.
It's not Jackson's fault that they're losing some of these games. It really isn't. It really isn't. And I like that you said it boils down to protection, too.
Get to any quarterback, you're going to beat the team.
Right. And even say what you want, how bad the Brown game was. Garrett and company were pressuring him, too. So I think if you're Harbaugh, clean up the offensive line, figure out Derrick Henry. Figure him out because he's still a top talent in the league.
That might be the only first ballot Hall of Famer that has played in the last 15 years at that position.
Right.
Right then and there should give me enough confidence that he's going to figure it out.
But yeah.
So I don't have a ton of worry about him.
And then on the Detroit side, Kyle, it's like, do we even remember week one? Week one is so far in the rearview mirror. And
clutch fourth down on the Monroe St. Brown. The Detroit buttons hit. Mm-hmm. They went for it on fourth downs. They took long methodical drives. Both running backs played well. They got everybody involved offensively. Goff played a near perfect game. They mostly kept him protected, and that's the only way you beat Goff.
Right.
Goff, if you give him time and you're running the ball well, he'll pick you apart. That's when everything goes well for Jared Goff.
Mm-hmm.
And he will not have a bad game if those are the conditions.
And then I think they proved a lot to the division. I think they proved a lot to the NFC. When you look at the NFC, you're right now, you're thinking of the Eagles. You're thinking of the Buccaneers and their hot start
to
three games and the Packers. But recency bias, the Packers losing to one of the worst teams in the NFL.
And the Packers already have the win over them, but they're going to have to split. So that's they're thinking about splitting right now against Detroit.
Detroit getting back on track. And then on the flip side, if you want to stay in the North, the Vikings defense dominating. And the Bears finally having Caleb Williams look like Caleb Williams. So this is such a week-by-week league. But that division is wide open. It is. That division is wide open right now. I know the Bears are 0-2. They're behind the 8-ball. But I don't think all of those teams have a chance of beating each other again. I know most of them have played each other, but all of those teams have a chance the next time that they face off. It's like flip a coin because they are quality. They are good. And I think the Lions proved that again last night.
Ravens, 6 of the last 7 years have had double digit wins. They're going to have that again this year.
Yeah.
So do not worry. Take a look at their schedule. if you think that's going to be a problem. So that's number one. But walking away from it, they've played one conference championship since Lamar has sort of taken over. The problem with them is they can't win a big game.
They're not alone either.
They can't win a big game. And the thing about the Bills is the Bills also can't win a big game, but they can win a big game better than the Ravens can. And so there is almost a totem pole. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. They do what they do. They're there until they're taken out. And everybody else, the Bengals, they had that 1 or 2 years where they were in the mix. Other than that, they've done a whole lot of nothing. The Bills, we're all waiting for them to break through. They're playing great. The Ravens have sort of been in that in-betweener where they're too good for the regular season to not have postseason success. Mm-hmm. I walked away from that game not thinking that this team was should panic at any point in the regular season, but if you're a fan looking for that team to take the next step, nothing of what I've seen the first 4 weeks, 3 weeks, have shown me that anything is going to be different in a big spot.
And the Chiefs have been gatekeeping the AFC for years. Right. I think that's what we know.
But like, there's eyes on Buffalo, there's eyes on Kansas City, fine. They have had two opportunities here for big wins. One of them was on the road at Buffalo, and which probably should have won, and one of them was last night at home against Detroit when you're 1-2. You got next week at Kansas City. So those are three of probably your four biggest games of the year outside division in the first 4 weeks.
Could be a big next step, win in Kansas City.
You win in Kansas City, everything else is vindicated. They're okay with that. That is what they're looking for. They're looking for, can we beat our boogeymen? And their boogeymen, in a way, is what the Bills did to them last year and what the Chiefs have done to them time and time again. And if they could show that in a big spot, specifically give them some confidence for the postseason, that is all. And Christian Catt is our producer today. He's a Raven fan. All the Raven fan cares about at this point is not about winning your 10 games. Mike and I would kill for 10 games right now.
Correct.
But it's about, can they take another step in the postseason? I haven't seen that yet. And I can't necessarily sit here and say that team is going to be okay come postseason.
Gambling line, where they're good friends at Hard Rock Bet, Ravens and Chiefs. Ravens are favored. Third time Patrick Mahomes in his career
and
has been a dog at home.
The one thing
the
Ravens have looked eye test. They have the same record. Eye test tremendously better than what Kansas City has looked at.
And it's offensively. Like, you assume that Jackson is still going to be able to put up 2 to 3 touchdowns. Like, you assume that the Ravens are going to be able to put up points. Can they get out of their own way?
Yeah. The Ravens had a lot of injuries yesterday defensively, so it's hard to almost knock them when they're missing out so many players. But even their great players, Roquan Smith had a bad day. Like, Marlon Humphrey had a bad day. Like, their big namesake players have not played well. And then Derrick Henry has not played well in a big spot. If the only one you're relying upon is Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews to win you games, it's not going to happen. You need, this is going to be, talk about team effort.
I remember when Mark Andrews used to have respect on his name.
This is that playoff loss that killed his
reputation. Correct. The non-catch, the botch. Bills, they beat themselves, and I think last night they beat themselves too.
I'm not going to say that about last night. I think Detroit was better than them throughout
the whole night. Even the Henry fumble?
Yeah, because the Henry fumble was it happened again.
Hold on, fourth and goal. You don't score on the one.
But it was also, pressure was great on that play. They probably should have, but you know what I mean? They
bad play calling. Lamar visibly upset after, I believe, the second down call.
Right.
So,
they got to him on that fourth down and then he fumbled it. So, but they were on to him all game.
That's why I say it, though. The fumble, the fourth and goal, your chances in that game and you blew it.
They were also up two possessions in the game as well towards the end. Keep that in mind.
And then rewind quickly, Bill game. The defense was a sieve in that fourth quarter. No one said they had to give up 3 straight touchdowns. And obviously a lot of that's set up by the Henry fumble.
Yeah, you know what another problem is? I mean, that fumble changed the momentum of the game because I believe it was a 4-point game when that happened. And then all of a sudden, immediately they were in field goal range. They get a quick stop, but they force a field goal. So now it's a 7-point game. And at 31-24, the score was. The Ravens come back out there, and they have the worst drive you've ever seen in your entire life.
Yeah.
That drive killed the game. Right then and there, when you cannot respond post-fumble, is where you get burned. And walking away, again, if you are a Raven fan, you're not worried about the regular season. But that's not necessarily what the Raven fan cares about. Mm-hmm. They want to see, can this team win a big game? Because they haven't. Ever since Flacco was there, they have not won a big game. And who does that boil down to? You can make an argument, Harbaugh sitting there, because they've changed out their offensive coordinator a couple times. Todd Monken is a good offensive coordinator for them, so there's no doubt there. But Harbaugh has not gotten this team ready to play in big spots time and time again. Mm-hmm. I'd be a little nervous about their postseason chances because something's going to have to change. Something's going to have to change fast. You can't just assume that one of these years it's going to roll our way. Ask the Bills how that works.
And now you have others nipping at the feet, like the Chargers. I'm not saying Denver's dead either. I think Denver and that defense, they're going to be able to be in games. They're plays away from being 2-1 instead of 1-2. So I think with other teams rising up in the AFC as well, it's important to have your house in order. But we've seen this from the Ravens. Like I know you said the same stuff, Cabo. Like, remind everybody again, the AFC North is bad, especially with Burrow out this year, and they're going to host a playoff game. Make sure your house is in order for when you go back to the playoffs, because the Chiefs look like they're the most vulnerable they've ever been
right.
in about five seasons, six seasons.
You know, it's bizarre because I think some of this can boil down to what Harbaugh has been doing, because we want to go sit and yell at Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin has not had the similar success that John Harbaugh has had in the regular season. They're sort of, you know, that cross. They sort of had similar careers.
Well, yeah, the Ravens have owned the division
right.
over the last couple of
years.
They've
owned the division. They've had better regular seasons. But in the postseason, I know Tomlin hasn't won a big playoff game in 7 years. But Harbaugh, what is he, won three with Lamar?
Yeah.
So they haven't done anything of real value in the postseason. And they haven't won a huge game in the postseason to begin with. I don't know why necessarily he is so particular. Because we're even looking at Sean McDermott in the same light, too. If the Bills can't figure it out again, there's going to be murmurs about getting a new face to run that team.
And I think it'd be Joe Brady. Sorry to cut
right,
you off,
because he's
probably
right there.
Joe Brady.
To take another step. We need a new face to try to take another step. If the Ravens lose again and they can't get something done in the postseason, at what point can you, I mean, I know he's tenured. At what point can you look at Harbaugh just like you look at Tomlin? And Harbaugh's had more success. Harbaugh had a MVP fall to him at 32 overall in the NFL draft, who has taken the league by storm. Mm-hmm. They've been a well-run machine. So have the Steelers, but the Steelers haven't been able to figure out quarterback. It's made a huge difference.
And then that was going to be my rebuttal, is that Harbaugh has the quarterback figured out.
Yeah,
Tomlin
an MVP
doesn't.
fall to his lap at 32 overall. He's the sixth quarterback taken in that draft.
I'll listen to... We should be giving Harbaugh more heat because he has the MVP quarterback.
Right.
I will listen to that. But I think with Steeler fan and how they operate, they cannot fathom they haven't won a playoff game in 10 years. The Browns have won a playoff game before, more recently.
Against
the Steelers. Exactly. And we're rivals, you know? So it's like, it's a big deal. And now you got Aaron Rodgers in there with Mike Tomlin. That doesn't look good right now. I know I'm the one who said they could still win a playoff game. It's looking like a dead ticket. But we talk about how this is week by week and whatnot. But I don't know. I the comparison is interesting because they both have a Super Bowl, right? They both have a Super Bowl. What Steeler fan, I'm basing going off based on what Steeler fan tells me. Tomlin won with Cowher's team. Tomlin didn't win with Tomlin's team. Tomlin lost to Blake Bortles and the Jags. I can't tell you how many times my Steeler buddies bring that game up to me. And I know a lot of Steeler fans that have been done with Tomlin since that moment. They wanted to move on from him then. When they lost with Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger, Ryan Shazier in his prime. They wanted him gone then. So I think that's why that's the best way I can put it, why Tomlin gets more heat, because he won with Cowher's team, didn't win with his team, while Harbaugh, on the other hand, he made the Ravens.
Yeah.
He made, obviously, they were good. You're good under, God, I always forget his name. Early 2000s,
yeah.
Ray Lewis. I cannot.
Tim Dilfer running the team.
I cannot believe I'm forgetting the coaches.
Yeah,
the head coach's name.
I'll pull that up for you.
This is a terrible look. The amount of times that guy kicked my butt. But at the same time, you had to rework that franchise once he retired.
Yeah, Brian Billick.
Yeah, it's such a disgrace that I didn't remember Brian Billick. But Harbaugh, he redid the whole roster. He redid how they operate things, and they seamlessly went from Joe Flacco to Lamar Jackson. And people were even scratching heads when they took Joe Flacco from Delaware. By the way, FBS team this year. You know, so that's the best way I can put it. I know it was a long-winded answer, but Tomlin won with Cowher's team. Harbaugh did it the right way. Harbaugh's got the quarterback.
All this
Tomlin
boils down to is Lamar's prime, and this is his prime, has accounted to a whole lot of nothing at this point. And you can't make generalizations after week three of the NFL season. But if this season's going to go how I fear it might go for the Baltimore Ravens, and we're again, you know, sitting there with no major AFC contention appearance and looking around, because they're not going to be the number one overall seed. You know, you're going to play in that divisional round weekend. You're going to play. You might even play in the wild card weekend. So it's a bizarre situation thinking that, all right, you don't necessarily, I'm not saying let's get rid of him, but at some point you're going to have to start pointing fingers at why hasn't this worked? They have so many all pros. It's a well-run machine. They have good coaches in the building. They always have good players that are willing to come there. They have an excellent quarterback who's been readily available. They have a first ballot Hall of Famer who's a good player at running back. I mean, they have been able to figure out their receivers. Has that been the problem? And, like, again, if they can't figure it out again, you're going to have to start asking questions.
Right.
888-760-3776, number to get into the program. With the Ravens losing again in a big spot Monday Night Football last night to the Detroit Lions, at what point do we start to call into question the current regime of the Ravens? Because their big knock was they don't win big games. If you want to beat the Texans in the playoffs, be my guest.
Titans.
Yeah. You want to be my guest. You want to knock around those teams? Fine. But when you play the Bills or when you play Kansas City, not a lot has happened. That is the big knock on the Ravens. Who do you blame here? Who do we start to look at if they once again cannot have a big moment of postseason success? 888-760-3776. Let us know. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Kat. We will do our top 10 poll presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage with college football on the flip side. Jackson Dart also going to be the starting quarterback for the New York Giants. We'll get into that. By the way, breaking news a little bit presented by St. Lucie Battery and Tire.
Breaking news on ESPN 106.3 is brought to you by St. Lucie Battery and Tire. If your vehicle has issues with braking or other issues, get it fixed right now at St. Lucie Battery and Tire.
This has come out of nowhere. This kid's probably the number one in the Heisman votes right now. John Mateo, the quarterback at Oklahoma, is undergoing hand surgery immediately and will be out for the foreseeable future. Venables did say that he anticipates him to come back at some point this season.
Dude, it had to happen in practice. It didn't happen in the game.
He said it sustained it against Auburn.
Oh, my Lord. So that young man played. How about that?
Hey, it was probably, you know, it's probably something happened right in his hand. And, you know, you could probably get through that in the thick of the game. But Oklahoma, who's undefeated, one of the better wins that they've had, I mean, under Venables, period.
They can't catch a break.
Can't catch a break. So he's going to be out, whether it's a month, who knows. But the Oklahoma's upcoming schedule, they got Kent State coming up, but they got the Red River rivalry coming up in about 2.5 weeks. South Carolina after that, and then next month, around Halloween time, that's when the ranked matchups come. 5 in a row as of today: Ole Miss, Tennessee, Alabama, Mizzou, and LSU. So that's probably when they're hoping to get
it. I hate to. That's bad news for football fans. Like, I don't have a root. I don't root for Oklahoma. I don't hate Oklahoma either. But, like, you want to see Mateer and Venables go up against the top-notch SEC
this
teams.
Is the time to do it. This
sucks,
is, if they if they were, if they said that we can't get through this season with this injury, now it's time to do it. You have a bye this week. You got Kent State after that. That's 2 weeks where you don't have to worry about it. You might even just have to fold your cards in that Texas game. You're not beating Texas without him at quarterback. And then you got South Carolina the week after that, who hasn't been very good.
To play devil's advocate, can you imagine if Arch and Texas lose to a backup quarterback in that Red River rivalry?
We'd be calling for jobs. We'll do a little college football top 10. On the flip side, stick around for it. Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. She ain't going to tie me down. Why you on the road? Got it on the shirts, all the hats, all the clothes. What you want right now? What up right now? I think you need to close your mouth because you ain't going.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
You know, the best part about the digital age is you can listen to us, listen to any of your favorite shows in one spot. ESPN South Florida has an app. It's available free on the App Store. Go download it today because it's got everything in one place. It's all your Florida beats, your South Florida sports beats. That's Inter Miami, English, and Spanish Deportes Radio, which you can catch on the app. If you miss what Mike and I have to say, miss what Theo and Christian have to say on Theoretically Speaking, catch it on the app. Even if you miss any of the high school coverage, the extensive high school coverage that we do from throughout Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast, it's all on the app. Catch it there. Download today, ESPN South Florida app. All right, let's have some fun here. The college football AP poll. post week four is out. It's available. John Mateer, the quarterback at Oklahoma, one of the Heisman leaders in terms of votes in the early part of the season, is undergoing hand surgery. He will be missing at least the next couple of weeks. Venables said he'll return at some point this season. They have Michael Hawkins, the redshirt sophomore, as the backup, who has seen game action before. They went to him at points last year. So it remains to be seen. Oklahoma has a bye. Kent State, then they got the Red River rivalry, then they got South Carolina. So it's the easy part of their schedule comparatively because they got five straight ranked matchups to finish off the year.
It's a solid coordinator there too. Obviously, the coordinator who came
Ben,
out over
Ben Arbuckle
from Washington State. He came with Mateer, Coach Cam Ward. So I think the offense will be fine. I think they'll actually surprise a couple of people too in that matchup versus Texas. I'm not saying they're going to sit here and win with a backup quarterback in Hawkins, but I think it's going to be pretty good. But let's get right into our Good Greek College Football Top 10.
Who's moving up?
Went from unranked to the 14th team in the country. They were more motivated going into that game.
Who's moving down?
Can they have a good season after this? Maybe.
It's time for Russo and Rizzo's College Football Top 10 Poll. Presented by
Good Greek Moving and Storage. Your superhero movers.
Folks, call Good Greek Moving and Storage for your total relocation solution. From packaging and storage to local and long-distance moves, Spiro and his team at Good Greek Moving and Storage has you covered from start to finish. Trusted by families, businesses, sports teams like the Hurricanes and the Heat for over two decades, you got to make your next move simple, safe, and stress-free with the world's only total relocation company. They also do auto transport, junk removal, storage services. They're the first moving company in Florida to be certified by Pro Mover. And be on the lookout as I will be attending the Spiro Superhero Movers Academy coming near you. Kyle, let's get right in.
All right, so the AP Top 10 is as follows. Ohio State is at number 1. Miami is number 2. Penn State is number 3. LSU, 4. UGA is at 5. Oregon is at 6. Oklahoma, big risers after the Auburn win at 7. FSU at 8. A&M is at 9. And the Longhorns, Texas, are at 10. The outer, the 11, 12, and 13 is Indiana, Texas Tech, and Ole Miss. All right, Mike, let's start from 10, go down to the front. Let's go to start at 10.
Number 10.
Now,
Texas is here. We're not putting Texas here.
Indiana. You could put Texas Tech. I'll listen to a couple of teams. I'll listen to Ole Miss, Texas Tech, Indiana. We're taking Texas out. I agree there. Go beat Oklahoma, and we'll talk about being back in
that Illinois win I like more than the Texas Tech. I know Texas Tech did it mostly with their backup quarterback, so you got to give them credit there. Now, that was an ugly game. It was at Utah. But I do think that Indiana win deserves something.
I got to be careful here because I know Mikey and Peoria is listening, and Kyle, I know our Peoria fan base is listening. But the Illini stink.
Yeah.
Do we really?
You don't beat a Power 5
team,
but hey, it's a Power 5 team that we thought would be pretty solid, who won a bowl game. I mean, we were good in a bowl game last year. Same coach. They lost by 53 points.
I mean, as much as I love them.
I don't care where Indiana was. Indiana's on this list.
Okay,
that's the most impressive.
So they're number 10. We'll move on to number 9.
Number 9.
Now, you could put A&M. You could put Florida State. You could put Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma better wins than both Florida State and A&M to this point. I think they deserve to be higher.
I agree.
I probably would stand pat.
I would put I would probably put FSU
and
here.
You'd have A&M higher than
Florida State. I like A&M winning at Notre Dame more than I like FSU beating Alabama.
See, I disagree there. I think Alabama's still really good, and I think people might find that out against Georgia this weekend.
Maybe, but I just think winning at the Notre Dame on the road in that environment, I'm willing to reward A&M for that more so. I understand they have opportunities to move up. FSU has Miami in 2 weeks, but
road game, I get it. But we're talking about a Notre Dame team that gave up 30 points to Purdue this past week.
Fine. But they were hold on. Our number one team, they went right down to the wire with their probably number one team. Keep that in mind.
All right. I'll meet you halfway. We'll do number 8.
Number 8.
So number 9 was FSU. Number 8, A&M.
Has to be. Because I think Oklahoma clears
they got two big
both
wins.
Of them.
Two big wins. With or without the quarterback, we're still ranking them here. We're not doing the Jordan Travis treatment yet. We're going to keep it there.
I want to give Florida State the props. I was tremendously down on Florida State heading into the year. As the office likes to remind me.
Go beat the number one team in the country.
I know you and Christian disagree. There's something to be said about putting up 60 points against godforsaken State. They did it again over the past weekend. That offense, they had 482 yards rushing.
Yeah, I can't against listen.
Against a MAC team, they had 482 yards rushing.
I mean, Mike.
The Buckeyes could barely cross midfield.
I mean,
against
it is
Ohio.
Kent State. You're talking about the MAC champions versus Kent State.
I understand, but there's something to be said about Florida State and what they've been doing. Let's go number seven.
Number seven.
And Oregon, Oklahoma, Georgia. Do you want Oklahoma higher? If we're being fair, they have better wins than Oregon and Georgia.
And Oregon's got Penn State this week, so I'm happy to put Oregon at seven and give them an opportunity to move up.
Okay. We'll go Oregon seven. That leads us to number six.
Number six.
Oklahoma. Yeah. Barely.
Barely. I'll listen to UGA here as well, but six, we'll do Oklahoma.
I like the Tennessee win at Tennessee. That's
right.
A better win
and
than
anything. I personally, look at me playing into the whole AP committee. I personally like putting Georgia at five for that matchup against Alabama. Make it, you know, a top five matchup for the Crimson Tide and a chance to kind of make up for that loss against
the
Seminoles.
Let's get to it. Number five.
Number five.
I think it's Georgia.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go anywhere else here. I think LSU, Penn State, Miami, and Ohio State rightly ahead of them. Let's do number four.
Number four.
We had Penn State here last week. I have no reason to move them.
No, I'm with you. Christian, you know I love the Nittany Lions. I'm Big Ten Mike, but go beat Oregon, and I'll put you at one.
Yeah.
You go beat Oregon. I would have
listened to put Penn State at five, too.
Depending on what Ohio State does against Washington and what Miami – I think Miami's idle this week. I think Miami might be on a bye. I'll double-check that. But if you go beat Oregon, I'll put the Nittany Lions close to two, damn near one.
I'd listen to that at five, too. Let's go to number three.
Number three.
LSU?
Yeah, firmly.
Number
no problem
two.
There. They didn't play, and Ohio State also didn't play either.
Right.
I'm
sorry.
Okay. Based on what we saw, best resume in the country is coming up at number one.
It is.
Number one.
So that puts
it's Miami.
LSU at number three, OSU, Ohio State at number two,
the Ohio
and University
State.
Of Miami at one.
The Ohio State.
All right.
Yes. But Hurricanes won. I've said it all week. I say all week. We've had one show. I said it since yesterday. Most impressive team, best. Two wins, I think, out of anybody in college football. And I love the way they won against Florida. Beck had a bad game. Beck looked like a Heisman Trophy candidate heading into that game. He had a stinker, about a buck 26, an interception, no touchdowns. And they ran the ball with Mark Fletcher and all
their rainstorm, no problem.
Their stable of running backs that they had. They didn't even run Lyles. Okay, the other kid got all the carries. But Miami, definitely the number one team in the country right now. And that was our college football top 10 presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage.
Well, we got a lot to talk to about with Steve Palatino, the Good Karma Brands president, the Palm Beach Sports Commission Hall of Fame, a little Ryder Cup. Jackson Dart, he's a Giants guy, is now the official starter of the New York Giants as of week four. We'll get into that next. Stick around for it. Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Katt, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. We're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter /X at ESPN West Palm. Listen to us live on the ESPN South Florida app or on your radio dial, ESPN 106.3. We're at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach, looping in good friend of show. He is the Palm Beach Sports Commission Hall of Famer. He is the Good Karma Brands president. It is Steve Palatino with us now. Steve, hello. How are you?
Uncle Steve, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Great to be with you, and a happy new year to you both.
Happy new year.
It's Rosh Hashanah.
Is it Rosh Hashanah
today? I'm so sorry. I did not remember. That's
are you,
on me.
Are you apologizing? Happy New Year.
You don't have to apologize.
Yeah, okay. You have to apologize. I didn't even know.
I thought, you know, president of the company, we probably should have known that, but.
I mean, it would be.
Hey, you
like
know, president of the company not giving us Rosh Hashanah off. Hold on a second.
I mean, you're talking to Uncle Steve. You're talking to two Catholics, but
on,
I probably shouldn't. I probably
no
should have known that.
Company holiday.
That's on me.
That? What's going on there? I mean, geez, Steve.
Yeah, not a company holiday. You know, everyone makes their decisions on what's most important. Yeah,
I always knew it because when I was in school, they would get the day off.
For sure. And I
it's an off day. It's a public school off day today. Yes.
All right, well, Steve, we got a lot to talk about in the meantime. Let's start with your Giants. I'm curious now. They made the move. Brian Daboll felt the public pressure, maybe from ownership, maybe from within, maybe from externally. He is now starting Jackson Dart as the starting quarterback for week four. They got the Chargers coming up. They got a tough schedule over the next five or so weeks. What's your perspective, number one? Did you think this is the right move or too early?
No, this is exactly what these teams do when they're just when they're not all aligned. And it started this summer when when ownership publicly said we're getting tired of the situation we are in, and then it and if, instead of but then you go and you draft a rookie quarterback who needs time, and you go and you sign Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, and it's the amount of mixed signals that the Giants have continue to put out there. Dable will probably be a good coach. It won't end up being with the Giants, but this is a desperation move that he's doing now because he's heard from ownership, we're losing patience. Instead of, we are going to play for the long game here. We have some great young pieces in Neighbors, in Robinson, in Tracy, I know he's hurt, in Scadaboo, and we're going to like give this quarterback time, you know, to watch on the sideline. But Wilson's been terrible. We know that, but it just reeks of reaction, reeks of like the press and just the constant non-alignment that the Giants have between coach, leader, coach, front office, and ownership.
Steve, what are your thoughts on Dart?
I think he's going to be really good. I think he could end up being like really, you know, solid player. You know, there's all the Bo Nix comparisons, probably maybe hopefully more the last year Bo Nix than the this year, you know, so far Bo Nix. But my thoughts on the Giants offensive line are that they're pretty bad. And they're, you know, at least Andrew Thomas is back, which gives a little bit more, you know, protection for Dart. I don't even know if I'd call it old school. Maybe I'm just more conservative in this regard. You just paid Russell Wilson $10 million. Cut him today, then. Cut him. If we're going the other way, cut him right now.
Well,
I would have rather see Jameis Winston start. I was like, yeah, let's make a change. Jameis Winston should be the starter. At least it'll be fun.
I tend to agree with Steve on cutting ties with Wilson.
Well, here's the thing. Like, you need a veteran presence somewhere.
You got Jameis. You're right.
Oh, God.
Russell Wilson's not a veteran presence. Russell Wilson is completely disconnected from this world. He's earned it. He's made the money. He's with the Hollywood girlfriend, like the whole entertainment style. He's completely disconnected. He's not the leadership presence that you need there. I'd rather have Jameis Winston, and I would cut Russell Wilson immediately. Let him go sign with somebody else who maybe thinks he's got something left to give.
Well, the one part I definitely agree with is there's no turning back. Like, he's starting, all right, well, hell or high water, unless he gets hurt, as long as he stays healthy, he is going to be playing every single game the rest of the year. That I can agree with. Now, the other thing about this is that I also agree with, as you said, this reeks of reaction. This does reek of public perception, pressure. This was sort of the last possible move that he could have made that, you know, was sort of on the edge of the cliff. Was, all right, well, now you got to see how Dart does. And my opinion is I don't think they're going to get rid of Dable mid-year, because what is the point of letting Dart get in there and, potentially if they were to fire Dable in 5 weeks, all of a sudden now you got Dart getting 3 head coaches in a 6-month span. Is that really what the best thing for him? You got to think about the quarterback at this point. I have a hard time seeing a realistic end of the season here that allows Dable to be staying, especially after a reaction like this early. Unless they, you know, surprise people and win 7 games, I don't think there's a way that he could keep his job from here on out. I think they'll do him the diligence of keeping him around to the end of the season. That's not Mara's style. And I was curious in your thoughts on that.
I think right now I'd see him there to the end of the season. To your point, it's not Mara's style. But if there's a blow up, like a major blow up, like in their locker room or something with him and Joe Shane, I don't know if the offense coordinator Mike Kafka, you know, makes it all the way. They moved him from upstairs to downstairs,
which is always step one.
Yep, it hasn't. You know, it hasn't yielded, you know, those great returns. And I told everybody, like, last week after Wilson had that great game, you know, last week, the prolific game, you know, that he had against the Cowboys last week. One, obviously, the Cowboys, you know, defense is not very good, as you saw again this week. And the second thing is Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones, not this new amazing Daniel Jones, but the Daniel Jones from the Giants, also had one of those games last year that just had you believing. And that's what got Russell Wilson here to week 3. And we see where we are. He's probably much closer to the week 1 and week 3 than he is, you know, to the week 2 guy. But to your original question, does Dable make it out make it through the season? My thought is probably yes, because of the kind of organization, you know, the Giants are. Oh, wow.
So you do, okay. Now, if Dart comes in and saves the season, he's coming back next year, guys. I got news for you. Dart comes in and plays well.
I'm talking about realistically. Realistically, the next 5 weeks for the for the Giants is as follows. They play the Chargers this week. All right, that's no easy task to begin with. That's a tough defense, a top 7-8 defense who have played well to this point. All right, so the first game is against the Chargers. After that, they get an easy one. They got the Saints. Then they play short week against the Eagles Thursday Night Football. They play the Broncos, Eagles again, the Niners, Bears, and then Packers. If there is anything more, if you're going to exit the season with 4 wins, you're not surviving. That's my personal
Remember, opinion. The Giants came into the year having the toughest strength of schedule coming into the 2025 in the history of the NFL. So my thought was, is they're going to be a much better team because they have so many. They are better. They are deeper. They are stronger than they have been in the last 10 years.
Yeah, they're better than last year, for sure.
On defense and at the skill positions. But I didn't know that. My thought was it's not going to really show in the record. Like, they're not winning 9 games, but maybe they'd win 7. And you'd feel like they're on their way, and then they could kind of seed this thing over to Dart. And I thought it would be like the old when Kurt Warner was the starter, and he handed it to Eli. Mm. And that was the beginning of the next foundation, you know, for the Giants. I don't know if that will be the case because I don't know if the head coach and the GM will be around. But I do think right now they put the best pieces on paper together that they've had in, you know, the entirety of this current regime. Like, there's players there. Couldn't you see it the other day? Like, it was almost like all right, the stat's up. Neighbors hasn't been targeted. And then it's almost like they whisper to the Chiefs coaches are like, probably going Neighbors here. And then he forces it to Neighbors. And it was like we all saw it unfolding right before our eyes. And that's really because Russell Wilson just doesn't have a lot left.
Right.
Steve Palatino, the Good Car and Brands president, with us on ESPN 106.3. Stiff. Steve, do flip over to baseball really quick. Last week of the regular season, the Yankees in a pretty good spot. I got to ask you, it's the other team. I know you're a Yankee guy. The other team in New York, Mets on the outside looking in. There's a saying amongst the New York fans, the Mets are always going to Met. And they're just always going to get in their own way. It's just going to happen. And it's funny now that we're looking at post-end of the regular season last year, the two magic teams were the Tigers and the Mets. And this year, the two disaster dumpster fire, you know, collapses are the Tigers and the Mets. I just wanted to get your sort of takeaway last week of the regular season with the AL as wide open and the NL as wide open as it's ever been.
The story in baseball for me is Cleveland.
Yeah.
This is a historic level of collapse by Detroit and comeback by the Guardians. In the last couple of weeks to pick up 10, 12, I don't know, what was it?
They were 12 down, 12 down on August 25th. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know Ozzy. Not that many people are still, you know, are focusing on baseball right now. But for example, if you're a Guardians fan, I know that the Browns had a big win last week, but you might be focusing on baseball.
We're pumped up, Steve. We're all pumped up.
Awesome story.
Got to win 2 out of 3 against Detroit, Steve, or else it was all for nothing. So big series.
The neat thing is if you're into baseball, there has never. I mean, the AL is so wide open because up until 2 weeks ago, I still liked the Tigers. And I like the Mariners, who now got hot again, but they can't, you know, they can't seem to also get out of their own way, and they're terrible, terrible on the road. And, you know, the Blue Jays are hanging on there. You can never discount the Yankees. It's really fun, you know, what's happening, in baseball in the AL. And in the NL, it seems like nobody's interested in the Brewers. Like, nobody actually wants the Brewers.
Yeah, the sole great regular season front to back that they're the only team that have put to get that together. So everybody's sort of like, you know, throwing them away because everybody else is a middling 80 win team.
Also the history, boys. I mean, they never win a playoff series. So,
I mean,
I don't know. And I got my sidekick, Drew, here now with some my son, who likes to steal my thunder on our show here. But then, of course, you know, the Dodgers and the Phillies, I feel like have just been, you know, all flogging along all year, the Dodgers in particular. But, I mean, come on, you know when the Dodgers,
they're going to be the team to beat.
Yeah, Dodgers will probably. If you have to say one team's going to be in the World Series right now, it's in the entire MLB. Who are you putting? Who would you bet on over the Dodgers? One team in the World Series right now.
Yeah, I look at the Dodgers and I do look at Philadelphia. I don't trust the Cubs pitching. I don't trust Milwaukee in a big spot. You know, Sal Frelick getting a hit at Citizens Bank on a cold October night in Philadelphia. I don't know if I necessarily see that, but you're right. It's the Dodgers because they're getting healthy at the right time, especially on the pitching side. They're dangerous. They're always dangerous. Totally. And the Yankees on their side, Yankees actually played pretty well. And, you know, they're going to be on the outside looking in. The baseball has a problem with how they seed the teams because now the Blue Jays are going to get that bye, a coveted bye, and then they're going to play the winner of Red Sox-Yankees if it you know, ends how it is today. Well, on the other side, you got the Mariners who are going to have the winner of the Tigers and the Guardians. I mean, if you ask which team who would you rather have, I think it's the obvious is play the AL Central.
You want to run into the guards, Cal, at this moment?
The phony AL Central that we have the same conversation.
Here we go again. We're going to have two playoff teams as of right now if Detroit doesn't fall on their face.
Well, one of those teams is going to be out, but yes.
We'll see. The Red Sox could lose to the Tigers, right?
But the Red Sox have that game lead, but you're right. The Red Sox.
We'll see.
Yeah,
it's
going to be a very good week.
Yeah.
And it starts all today.
A lot needs to unfold, Steve. But AL wide open. I would agree with your sentiment, by the way, of the Dodgers, just because they're the Dodgers. They're the defending champs. And that's probably the only team you would say could be in the World Series. I like the Padres, boys. I do.
Clinched last night.
They bought a lot. They bought a lot of bullpen arms. Let's remember, guys, bullpen arms pitched more innings than starters last year in the playoffs, and the Padres got a plethora of it.
Yeah, and they were huge. They were a huge huge team into the year, I think, with pretty big expectations, and they just have not been able to break through.
I was down on the...
Interesting. Talking more Padres than we're talking Chargers on this radio show, if you're going to say, if you're going to get...
Well, it's you, Steve. Steve, you're baseball guy.
Steve, we know you love the Yankees and the Knicks. You love all the...
Listen,
you love your New York teams.
Listen, we're allowed to talk baseball at the president of the company. Am I right on that?
Steve, I think you should talk about whatever.
Yeah,
your
Steve,
talk about
hitting another public beat. What do you think of the Ryder Cup this weekend? Are you into it? Or are you going to be watching it?
Watching it, maybe going to it.
Wow.
You know, I happen to be up there. I will be in the vicinity of it, so I will at least be feeling the energy of it. Have some family reason to be up there. Of course, it's so neat because you just don't get to see all these guys together. And you know now, you know, there's always the distaste between the two teams. And now because of, you know, the live factors, it's just extra. So I think it's going to be really fun. I think the New York crowd is going to be really, really nasty, you know, to the Europeans. And I can't wait. Like, it's the gamesmanship of it all is going to be so fun. So even the debates about the all-time standings, you know, like the U.S., we portray it that we've pummeled all-time standings, but, you know, Europe has looked at it more of, the difference when the team changed from just being, you know, Great Britain to when all of Europe has been added and they've been pummeling us. So
right.
I just love everyone has their different opinions on it. I can't wait. It's going to be really fun. And it's a good way to wrap up the golf season.
Yeah. And I do think the United States or the Americans are going to play really well. I really do. I think they're going to have something to prove here. I saw they had the New York City Fire Department, FDNY, come and speak to the golfers. So I don't know if that, you know, Keegan Bradley, you know,
inspiration.
Getting in the bag of tricks to gotta get these guys motivated.
No, Steve, Colin needs a television. He needs a second screen. What do you think he should do?
What do you mean?
Here's the thing, Steve.
I'm a two screen guy.
Set the context, please.
I'm a two screen guy. I have my laptop that I use, and I have my main television that I use, and I usually get away with it watching two or three things at once, tops. I also have my phone if I need it. The Ryder Cup is going to need its own screen the entire weekend. There is a lot going on. You have the last weekend of the MLB regular season. You have a good college football slate on Saturday, and then also, you know, it starts at noon on Sunday with the singles matches, and that goes all through day. Jaguars play at 4. I'm going to be watching that, and you're going to be watching the last games of the regular season in baseball, which all start at 3. So I'm going to need a third screen, and I was thinking about scavenging Facebook Marketplace to get like a $50 screen that I could use for the day.
Or he hits up the king of multi-screens, a.k.a. Mike Rizzo, who both of you lambasted on this show for having five screens at once during football season. I offered Colin my 40-inch Samsung TV and my Xbox One that has all the streaming services that I pay for to Colin's disposal, and he told me to kick rocks.
I did not tell him that. I told him undecided. Steve, what do you think I should do?
Wait. You're offering to buy those, or you're offering
me He's offering to lend it for the weekend. Lend it for the weekend.
Uncle Steve, I am king multi. I am the multi-TV setup. I invented it in my dorm room. I invented it in my dorm room in 2013 at Ohio State, okay? I am Mr. Multi-TV screen. And I have a setup for Colin. All he has to do is swallow his pride and ask, but the young man won't do it.
Now, I wouldn't want all your stuff, and then it's like the pressure of, like, what if it breaks?
It's okay.
It's probably not worth anything.
Yeah, Steve, this is an important TV to Mike.
No. Steve, yeah. Am I that guy?
This is an important TV. This is like his favorite
Uncle
TV.
Doesn't mean you're that guy.
Uncle Steve.
Doesn't mean you're that guy, but he may be that guy.
You know me.
Feels wrong about it.
I'm going to shake down Colin for $100 for an Xbox One, and he can do whatever the hell he wants with it.
If he breaks it, he may feel bad about it and then feel like he's... No,
okay.
The real thing here is Colin should buy a second TV. He doesn't only need it for this weekend.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Nice so
this
offer,
is an investment.
He doesn't only need it for this weekend. Is this the only weekend? There's a lot going on in sports. Are the MLB playoffs going to be going on at the same time as college and the NFL for the next month? Get a second TV. Go out. Get yourself a second TV. And away you go. Your third screen is your computer, and your fourth screen is your phone.
He doesn't believe in that, though. He doesn't believe in the two TV
setup.
I'm
sort of going to the dark side on that, no?
I'd say it's you're evolving. I mean, it doesn't
I need it for this weekend.
There's wrong.
There's no discussion about this weekend. I need it this weekend.
Then you want to dig your heels in on these arguments that you don't actually believe. Because you know you need the extra screen.
Steve, that's his biggest nightmare. His biggest fear in life is going back on something he doesn't believe in.
I know. These people who just can't admit that they were wrong and just instead say, you know what, I'm growing or I'm seeing the needs. No one's gonna be mad at you about it. I mean, we're going to make fun of you for being wrong, but, you know, like, you are.
Right. I just need, I'm just going to get like a $50 screen off of, you know, somebody's secondhand screen off of Facebook Marketplace.
Ask your good buddy over here.
That's what I need.
Help.
Steve, what's going on at Duffy's?
Duffy's has 80 screens at every single one. So, you know where Duffy stands. I'm multi-sport watching it once. And you know what? Duffy's also has the full roster of the new football features, like the barbecue pulled pork nachos, the hand-cut tortilla chips, slow-cooked pork shoulder, Jack Daniel's barbecue sauce, barbecue rub, creamy queso blanco, crispy onions, and jalapenos. That is just in one item. The Duffy's Double Smash Burger with the touchdown tots and whether you want them the buffalo chicken style or the OG cheeseburger tots. The award-winning wings in 17 different flavors, 2-for-1 drinks, game day buckets, and of course, your favorite game on Duffy's on their aforementioned 80 TVs. No one does football season like Duffy's. Visit your local Duffy's Sports Grill. Duffy's, their game is always on. Colin, if you don't want to buy the additional TVs and you don't want to take the handouts from Mike, then go watch the Duffy's.
That might be my answer. Maybe I'll be at Duffy's from 7 a.m. on Saturday up until late evening on Saturday. We'll see how it goes.
Watch party with Colin.
Appreciate it, Steve, as always. We'll talk soon.
Bye, guys.
Steve Palatino of the Good Conference, president of the Palm Beach Sports Commission Hall of Famer, presented by Duffy Sports Grill. We'll loop in Christian Kett into the conversation, do a little 5 and 5. Stick around for it. Second hour, the 5 o'clock hour, presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Coming up right here on ESPN 106.3.